Today is Maundy Thursday. The holy oils that are used by the priests throughout the year for the sacraments of baptism and extreme unction will be blessed and consecrated at this Mass. Following the Mass, the celebrant will process to the beautifully decorated room where our Lord will repose until the Mass of the priest sanctified tomorrow on Good Friday. The altar of repose symbolizes that time that our Lord spent on that first Holy Thursday night in the Garden of Gethsemane, where the apostles slept while he suffered in agony. He suffered in reparation for our sins. Even as Judas arrived at the garden at the head of a band of soldiers to arrest Jesus, that is when the apostles abandoned their divine Savior. And so, my dear faithful, I encourage each and every one of you to comfort and console the tender heart of Jesus by spending at least 1 hour with him at the altar of repose. The epistle for Holy Thursday is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Brethren, when you come together, therefore, into one place, it is not now to eat the Lord's Supper, for everyone taketh before his own supper to eat, and one indeed is hungry, and another is drunk. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and put them to shame that have not? What shall I say to you? Do I praise you? In this I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke, and said, Take ye and eat this. This is my body, which shall be delivered for you. Do this as a commemoration of me. In like manner also the chalice after he had supped, saying, This is the chalice in the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you shall drink for the commemoration of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink this chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Therefore whosoever shall eat this bread or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the chalice. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. Therefore are there many infirm and weak among you, and many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But whilst we are judged, we are chastised by the Lord, that we be not condemned with this world. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 13th chapter. Before the festival day of the Pasch, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And when supper was done, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he came from God and goeth to God, he riseth from supper and layeth aside his garments, and having taken a towel, he girdeth himself. And after that he put water into a basin, and began to wash the feet of the disciples, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He cometh therefore to Simon Peter, and Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou shalt not have no part with me. Simon Peter saith to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not but to wash his feet, but he is clean wholly. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who he was that would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. Then after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, being sat back down, he said to them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Lord and Master, and you say well, for so I am. If then I, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you do also. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are familiar with the remarkable zeal of the earliest Japanese converts and the perseverance that they showed once they accepted the one true Catholic faith. We know that for centuries there was a time when they did not even have priests or the sacraments to help them in their faith, and yet they endured through some of the greatest persecutions to hold on to the faith. One incident that happened very early on in the missionary labors in Japan gives us an insight into the foundation for this perseverance. You see, when the missionaries first landed in Japan, they told the natives of the great power, majesty, and perfections of God. They told them how great God was and that he was always near to them and that he could even live in their souls. They were completely astonished by this. But then they were somewhat scandalized when the missionaries told them about Adam and Eve, our first parents, and their fall into sin, how they could disobey such a great God. Well, then the missionaries continued with the catechism. They explained how our Lord came to this earth. He suffered and died so that men's souls could be saved. And at this, the people of Japan exclaimed, "How good and how loving must the God of the Christians be?" Well, the missionaries then went on to tell them that, you know, it's very necessary, and even there is a terrible punishment for those who do not love God and those who commit what is called mortal sin. This made the converts completely confused. They could not understand, and they asked the missionary, "If God has been so good, surely he does not need to demand that we love him. Surely the Christians who know everything that you've just told us must be inflamed with thanksgiving and gratitude." Well, the missionaries had to tell them that sadly there were many who were even baptized and had been taught the truths of the faith that no longer strove to know, love, and serve God as they should. The natives could not control their indignation at hearing such a report, but they cried out almost in unison, "Who has ever heard of such ingratitude? Hard-hearted barbarians, they ought to be destroyed off the face of the earth." These converts, my dear friends, understood what St. John said at the beginning of today's gospel, that our Lord Jesus Christ, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And seeing that love residing in the Sacred Heart, their natural reaction was to make a return of love to him. And they could not understand anyone who would not draw that same conclusion. Through the ceremonies of Holy Week, then, that we have just begun, we will relive the final events of our Lord's life. And we will see once again in the ceremonies, in the masses, the unmistakable love the Sacred Heart has for mankind. And like those catechumens, we have to be determined to make a return of love to him. In today's gospel, our Lord's great charity shone forth when he gave the apostles the humble example of washing their feet. A certain priest commenting on the washing of the feet says that it was a lesson in humility. Our Lord made this clear when he said, "If I then being your Lord and Master have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." But the same priest continues by saying that in this case, humility was doing a service of charity. You see, it was our Lord's great charity. It was his love for his apostles that knew that for them to have any foundation in the faith and the practice of virtue, they would have to have humility residing in their hearts. And so it was out of a motive of love for them that he washed the apostles' feet. It was the custom at that time for servants to wash the hands of the guests at a dinner. But our Lord wanted to show his great love and wanted to show that supreme humility by not washing the hands, but washing the feet of his apostles. He willed to lower himself to washing their feet so that they could know how much he loved them and how much he cherished the virtue of humility. Another manifestation of his charity at this time was that he took time out of that meal to show them this lesson. He knew that his passion and death were approaching. He had provided his apostles at this meal with the sacrament of holy orders and the first holy sacrifice of the Mass. And yet, he knew that there was one more thing he wanted to give them, one more lesson he wanted to teach them. It shows us that there is nothing that our Lord will not do to help us and to put us on the right path. He had bestowed upon the apostles at that first Holy Thursday night the greatest honors that could be given, the honors of the episcopacy, and he had also given them the honor of being present at the very first Mass. But in addition to those honors, he also wanted them to know about the lesson of humility. Truly then, as St. John declared, our Lord spent every moment of his life, even these last moments at the Last Supper, manifesting his love and care for those in the world. Let us then, over the next 3 days, earnestly strive to make a return of love to him. Let us have in our hearts the sentiments of those Japanese converts who thought it was barbarous to know all that our Lord did for man and not make a return of love. To help us, let us consider the words of St. Margaret Mary herself, who once asked our Lord for this favor. She prayed, "My amiable Jesus, pardon me all the sins I have committed, through malice or through impure intentions. Put my heart in thy divine heart, in order that being continually under thy protection and direction, I may persevere constantly in doing good and avoiding evil, until my last sigh." If we can succeed in making these sentiments our own, then our lives will show that we have loved God until our end. And this is the main theme of Holy Week, to recognize God's great love for us and to resolve to return that love to him by devotion. Let us then make this return of love to our good God, who having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them until the end. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.